Tonight's a very special Thursday night to me. You know, it's the yahrzeit of a tzaddik, which I'm almost sure that none of you have heard of. Even in his lifetime, he tried everything which he could that nobody should know who he was. His tzidkas, Chaim Brim Zatzal. Chaim Brim Zatzal was nifter about 15 years ago. He was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, the Bisker Rav, of the Bayana Rebbe. He was a Bayana Chassid. He was a brother-in-law to Rav Yashiv. And I had the great fortune, I'm just the great fortune, when I went to Eretz Yisrael, after 11th grade, I went to Eretz Yisrael, left a year early. And it was min hashamayim that my father had a kesher with this tzaddik, how one thing led to the next, that my father was in touch with him. And he was makarim me very, very much. I could perhaps say, honestly, that I didn't know what Yiddishkeit was until I met him. Halvai, I should be able to say that I know what Yiddishkeit is now. But I certainly did not know. Coming from the valley in Los Angeles growing up, just to come to Eretz Yisrael was a tremendous chus. But to spend time, the hours that I spent in his home, just watching how he conducted himself, even though he tried very hard, extremely hard, to be master himself, but just to see in action a person of this caliber, it opened my eyes to see Yiddishkeit from a whole new perspective. So instead of taking a shtickle piece in Rav Kook and learning it, we're going to discuss just a few ma'asim, just a few, something which he would say, the vardach which he would say. A living Rav Kook. A person who took all these teachings that we've spoken about over the years, and you can see, although he tried very hard, and I keep stressing this because I can't speak about Rav Chaim Brim without speaking about his humility and how he did everything which he could that nobody should know who he was. How he ran away from COVID and he pretended that he was an Am Haaretz, Mamish. So I'd just like to share just a few stories on the Shavuot, which he said about Pesach and how it pertains to Mitzvah Hashem. And there's many things which we could say about Rav Chaim Brim. In particular, just that you should understand what it means to be master himself, how a gadol, the extent that a tzaddik can go in order to conceal himself from others. He was praised, he was a Talmud of Rav Yosef Zalman Meltzer. He was close to all the tzaddikim at the time. And just that you should appreciate his ga'inus entire. That Rav Yosef Zalman Meltzer was father-in-law to Aaron Kotler Zatzal. And Rav Yosef Zalman Meltzer's, his wife, was very fond of Rav Aaron. And when he wasn't around, when he wasn't home, so she missed him very much. So Rav Chaim Brim used to visit the house of Rav Yosef Zalman frequently. And Rav Yosef Zalman would say to his wife, he said, "Why do you miss Rav Aaron so much if Rav Chaim Brim is here?" And he was young at the time, he was 17 years old. But already Rav Yisrael Zalman appreciated his ga'inus. And when he became close to the Chazon Ish, he used to spend summers in the helm of the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak. The Chazon Ish once told Rav Chaim Kanevsky that there's two hiddur esrogim in Yerushalayim, and one of them is Rav Chaim Brim. He felt that after he had met the Chazon Ish that he didn't know how to learn until he met the Chazon Ish. So all of his ksavim, all of his writings, which he had written in Chidushei Torah, he took them and he buried them. Because he felt like he didn't know what learning was until he met the Chazon Ish. But that was in his humility. It's completely in his humility. I saw with my own eyes. I didn't know this until only afterwards, that there were times that he would learn for 18 hours straight. And then somebody would knock on the door, and he had to deal with his Rebbetzin, that she wouldn't open the door for the person knocking until Rav Chaim was able to put all of his Sfarim away. Until he put all of his Sfarim away, and then he would sit down on the couch as if, like, you know, he was doing nothing, just shooting the breeze. So that he would be able to conceal that his Torah and his Avodas Hashem would be completely lishma. I once saw this myself. I once came into his home and I saw him lying on his couch reading a newspaper. Imagine a Gadol Yisrael sitting lying on his couch. But that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to portray himself in front of people as if nothing special here, nothing going on over here. Just a regular Jew. In particular, his Avos Yisrael, it had no bounds. I saw with my own eyes how he, when people would eat at his house Friday night, how he insisted that everybody sit down, and he would walk around, he would mamish serve everybody. He was frail, he was old. But he would go back and forth in the kitchen and out of the kitchen, bringing in soup for each person and serving everybody himself. And how he was mekayev every single Jew. I was once in Eretz Yisrael after his p'tira, and I called a close friend, close Talmud of his, perhaps the closest one to him. And I said that I needed a taxi. Can you give me a number? He said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll send you Reb Chaim's old taxi driver." So when I get in the car with his taxi driver, he's a chiloni Jew, very chiloni, and I said to him, "You had this chus to drive around Rav Chaim Brim. You have to share with me a story, something about Rav Chaim Brim." And he says to me, "Oh, Rav Chaim Brim." He said, "Rav Chaim Brim was greater than all the Admoim." He says, "I used to take this Rebbe, I used to take this Rebbe, I took all the Rebbes everywhere. So Rav Chaim Brim was greater than all of them." You know how I know? Because the other Admirim, they would come into the taxi and they would sit in the front and I would sit in the front and we had nothing to communicate. There was no sprach, there was no conversation between the two of us. He used to sit in the car at the Chaim Brim. He used to talk to me about politics, he used to talk to me about sports, he used to talk to me about anything I wanted to talk about, he would talk about with me. That doesn't mean to say that other tzaddikim weren't as great as Chaim Brim, or we can't judge by this yet how great tzaddikim are. Like I once heard from my Rebbe, he told me a story that it was a musical composer who once said to the Bava of a Rebbe, the Rebbe Nsian, he was a tremendous composer of music. Shankar. It wasn't Shankar. I don't think it was Shankar. It may have been, but I don't think so. He once said to the Bava Rebbe, one of his nigunim, he said to him, "Rebbe, such a nigun can only be composed with Ruach HaKodesh." So the Bava Rebbe said back to him, "If you were such a baki in Ruach HaKodesh as you were in music, I'd believe you." So we can't take from this yid that he should be the mavchen as to who's greater than who. One thing which we can't take from this yid is that he said he felt that he, that out of all the gedolim which he met, that he had a relationship with Reb Chaim Brim. And he said that Reb Chaim Brim left such a roshim on him, just the taxi drives. He says, every week on Friday I go to his kever to be mispal. And it's not an easy thing, he's buried in Har Zeisim. That a Chaloni taxi driver should go on Friday, he doesn't daven throughout the week, that he should go and daven at the kever of a tzaddik, at the kever of a tzaddik who he had just drove him around here and there. That the Avos Yisrael of Chaim Brim, mamash had no bounds. I was once sitting with him at the Shabbos table in Mumbai with him. He sent me to his right, and my brother was visiting me, and he sat him to his left. And Reb Chaim Brim said to my brother, "Nu, ma shem shecha, meifata, ben kamata?" Simple questions in Hebrew, and my brother was just shrugging his shoulders. I have no idea what you're talking about. So Reb Chaim Brim looked at him, and he smiled, and he said to him, "I want Mashiach now." That's all he knew how to say. That's all he knew how to say in English. That's it. But he made my brother feel so good. He found a way to connect with him. He laughed. We all laughed. But he walked away feeling like Reb Chaim Brim. And I had a moment with Reb Chaim Brim. In fact, when Talmidim would come from the States and they would go visiting different Gedolim, there was one school, I don't remember, maybe I didn't ever know which school it was, that they came and they had a moment. They had a meeting with Reb Chaim Brim. And after the trip, they had said that even though they met with all the Gedolim, they only spoke with the Chaim Brim. It's a big pella because Chaim Brim didn't speak any English and they didn't speak any Hebrew. So what does it mean that they spoke to Chaim Brim out of all the Gedolim? So Chaim Brim, this is what happened. Chaim Brim, when they came into his house, he would say to Chaim Brim, and he would say to them like this. Say to him, "Chafetz Chaim? Yeah, yeah, the Chafetz Chaim." And they would say, "Yeah, sure, we know the Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, we know the Chafetz Chaim." And he would say to them, "Moshe Feinstein? Moshe Feinstein?" Yeah, yeah, sure, of course, we heard of Moshe Feinstein. Oh, yeah. So he sat there just saying names of tzaddikim to them. It could be he was even saying, you know, political names. I have no idea. But they felt that Reb Chaim Brim talked to them. Because he found something to say, a way to connect with them that shmoozed Reb Chaim Brim. It's the only gadol they shmoozed with on the entire trip of Reb Chaim Brim. There's Rosh Hashiva in Square here. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Square for many years. Even though he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he would come in for 2 weeks and go back for 2 weeks, come in for 2 weeks. His son is even a Magid Shir in the Yeshiva there in Square to this day. Shai. People who knew that he was a Gadol of Yisrael, and he spoke in Lakewood many times. So one time he was invited to speak in Lakewood. And the Rosh Yeshiva who spoke before him got up to speak. And he was preparing a shir, he was giving the shir. And in the middle of the shir, he started fumbling on the tochen of the shir. It was a kasha, and he messed up the kasha. And it was very disgraceful. It was very embarrassing for the Talmud Chacham who was giving the shir when it happened. So Chaim Brim, he followed this speaker, and he got up, and lo and behold, in the middle of the shir, Chaim Brim is asking questions, and he's forgetting, and he's trying to answer it, and the answer is shir, and he can't put the shir together. And it was only afterward that those who knew understood that Reb Chaim Brim was putting on a show so that the first speaker shouldn't feel bad. Imagine the embarrassment that the first speaker felt, that he had a whole shir prepared and he couldn't remember and he was messing it up. So Reb Chaim Brim didn't want him to feel bad, so he put himself out completely mivaz himself in front of all of Lakewood so that this Jew who spoke before him shouldn't feel bad. These things were ma'isim v'chol by him. He would do anything that a Jew shouldn't feel bad. To him, that a Jew should not feel good. He was once sitting giving a shir in his home. And it was a shir in Chobos HaLavavis, which he would give once a week. And somebody walked in. And Rav Chaim Brim was quoting a certain inyan from Chavos HaLevavos, and he had quoted a Ramban that supports this Chavos HaLevavos. Somebody who came in late to the shir, who caught the end of it, he says, "Oh, by the way, Rebbe, you know, there's a Ramban on this. There's a Ramban." So Chaim Brim said, "Oh yeah, really? There's a Ramban on this? Oh, yeah." So all of a sudden, somebody calls out and says, "Rebbe, you just quoted that Ramban. You just quoted that Ramban." Instead of Chaim's Brim, his face turned white. After the shir, he pulled over this Talmud. It was a very close Talmud. He said to him, "What you did to me today, you mamish, you stabbed me in the heart." But he says, if you're going to do that again, please don't come to the shir. He says that this Jew, he felt good that he was making hard about a Ramban. Who cares if I just said that? If I just said the Ramban? Who cares? You embarrassed him. That he had come late to the shir, now he knows that he came late and he missed the Ramban, and he feels awkward and he feels ridiculous that he had missed it and I already said it. He says, "What you did today was like a stab in the heart. He mamish couldn't be soivel, could not be soivel, a pagam to the covet of another yid." So the taxi drivers used to fight over who would take him. If you make a call, the Chiloni taxi drivers would fight with each other. Who's going to pick up a camera? He'd be terrified if he knew that I was giving this, saying this over tonight, you know, just talking about him like this. This is the last thing that he wanted, B'chaya, was that anybody should give him any coverage, he should be recognized by anybody. He once had to come to the hospital. He was once coming to Mimbavaka Chayla, who was a person on the first floor who was critically ill. And then he had heard that there was somebody on the 8th floor who was sick also, and he figured that once he was there now to visit the chayla on the first floor, he would go to the 8th floor also and visit the chayla. So the Talmud who was with him said, "You know, let's go to the first floor chayla first. After all, he's on the first floor. We came for him. He's critically ill." Chaim Brim said, "No, we should go to the 8th floor first." I can understand why we should go to the 8th floor first. We didn't come to see him, he's not critically ill. So Chaim Brim said like this, says, "If I go to the first floor first, he's critically ill, and I see the state that he's in, I know it'll give me a broken heart. And I have to go back up to the 8th floor to the person who's not critically ill, who's with it. He's just in the hospital because he needs to be in the hospital or something. And he sees, if he'll be able to see on my face that something is wrong with me. How can I do the mitzvah of Bikur Chayla properly to the Chayla on the 8th floor? Not to be able to put on a radiant face for him, knowing that he's going to be able to know the difference, and to be able to mekayim that mitzvah and show him the proper Avos Yisrael. What I should do is I should go to the 8th floor first to give him my full geshmak, my full simcha. Because if I go to the first floor, and I have to see the man who's mamash critically ill, who's unconscious, and he says, I won't be able to make the mitzvah properly." The hair like that is like, it can only be that a person has such a love for another Jew that he's thinking, how can I give life to this Jew properly? It wasn't about just like following the Seder. You know, listen, I'm on the first floor first, I should do the first one, then the 8th one. He says, I have a mitzvah, I'm coming to do the mitzvah here of Bikur Cholim. How can I maximize the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? How can I show the proper love to another Jew?" But he was thought out because he had such an avas yisrael, he had such an avas achesed, that he thought things through in a way that, how can I do this mitzvah, especially when it came to avas yisrael, in the utmost way. When it came Pesach time, he would give Yeshurim in his home, and he would say, and that which Chazal say, "Chai v'adam liras as asmo kilu hu yatsim in Mitzrayim." The person has to see himself as if he left Mitzrayim. And this applies every generation, every single year. What he would try to bring out from this was that if a Jew leaves Mitzrayim, it means that it calls upon a person to be besimcha. It means to say that the atmosphere that the Seder should be on the night of Pesach should be one of that the simcha should be palpable. That just moments before you were like in Mitzrayim, and now on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the night of Pesach, if you're leaving Mitzrayim, if it's real to you, then there's a gevaldik simcha on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He said that he once came to Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, and he came to Rav Chatzkel and he asked him for chizuk. And the first thing Rabbi Chatzkel said was, who am I to give chizuk? Who am I to give chizuk? If Rabbi Chatzkel Levenstein can't give chizuk in the door, who can give chizuk? His name is Yechazka, right? It means it's chizuk. Anybody who's ever learned the Divrei Yechazkel, the Or Yechazkel, it's tremendous chizuk there. So he said, I can't give you chizuk, but I'll tell you what gives me chizuk. What gives me chizuk is when I think to myself about what it was like for a yid before he left Mitzrayim, and after he left Mitzrayim, received the Torah. He says that his boneness, and a Jew before and after, gives me tremendous chizuk. That's what he said to him. And then he said, what else do you need other than to think about that? So Chaim used to say, you would think that I came to him like in the middle of Pesach. He says, this is Stam in the middle of the year. This is in the middle of the year. Pesach was not around the corner. And he was saying to me, what gives me chizuk is when I think about what it means to be a Jew and after to be a Jew from the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what gave him chizuk. We'd say that what it means to be a Jew and not to be a Jew is like the difference between a person, we give a mashal. If a person is, he lives in a city where it has a wall. And the only thing which he knows about the world is what's within these walls. And then all of a sudden somebody comes and he punctures a hole, he breaks down the wall, and all of a sudden there's a whole new world which is open to this person. I never knew a world like this existed. My whole existence is just within these walls. So too, a Jew before Yetzias Mitzrayim was a Jew who lived in a world and in a place where the only thing which he knew about life was Mitzrayim. It was about Shibud, it was about difficulty, it was about pain and suffering. And if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be there today. He said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, and he took them into the Midbar, and he gave them man, and he gave them anani akavod, and he showed them love, and he gave them the Be'er, and then he gave them the Torah. He opened up a whole new world for Jewish people, for each person in particular. And Chazal gave a mashal, that Yetzias Mitzrayim is like a baby being born. You can imagine what the life is for a baby living in the womb. That it's so tight, that the only thing which he knows is just less than these dalanamos of existence in the womb. And then he comes into this world and there's mamash a whole world. There's other people. There's a whole new way to live. He says, this needs to be the simcha on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not just the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the entire Pesach. Especially for Ben Yeshiva, and especially in a yeshiva like this, where so many who learn here, who come from backgrounds where we felt that if we went to Eretz Yisrael and we had a year there, or maybe there was an experience in our life which changed our perspective from what it was before and after. It's very easy to take for granted, but to appreciate the fact that you've had an experience in your life where that if not for that experience, if not HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us that experience, you would never know what life is. You never knew that there was life like this in the coast of Beis Medrash. Now, when I first went to Yeshiva, when I was in KBY, and I saw the Maramakomos, I saw there was a Rajba, I mamish didn't know what a Rajba was. Didn't know. I was never taught that there was... I thought growing up in the valley that the extent of the Pirushim on the Gemara was the back of the Gemara and the green book, the Otz Mefarshei HaTalmud. That's it. If we had a kasha, my Rebbe would put out the Otz Mefarshei HaTalmud, and if you opened up the green book, then you know you had a good kasha. Other than that, I thought the only Pirushim on the Gemara were the back of the Gemara. Then I came to Eretz Yisrael and I saw there was a Beis Medrash for all this time, and mamish, they never knew there was a world of Torah like this. And I've seen people come into Beit HaMidrashim who never seen the Or of Torah. They look around at Beis Medrash and they cannot believe how many Svarim there are. And this is not considered to be a big Beis Medrash. This is not a big library. The London College is not a big library. But we don't realize that as we grow, there's constantly new worlds of Torah and Avodas Hashem which are being revealed to us. I had a very big schus to be in the company of an Adam Gadol like this. Even my Rebbe told me, this Chinner Rebbe, and I told him years ago that I had a kasher with the Chaim Brim. He said to me, "You don't even realize the schus what you had to know a person like this." And for a person to be able to find an Adam Gadol, to be able to spend time with them and in their company, it opens up worlds, mamish worlds of Yiddishkeit and life, which a person didn't know existed. And a person who's Makusha to Torah, he's always going like that. Not just by Pesach. He doesn't have to wait for Pesach. But new worlds are constantly being opened up in front of us. New depth. And it doesn't mean that a person discovers like a whole new way of doing Yiddishkeit. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried within Torah a light. The more that a person delves into Torah and to Avodas Hashem, the more that he feels every day that new chambers are being opened to him. That today is different than yesterday. Or this month is different than last month. The Chazal say, "B'chol yom yubeinecha kechadashim." That every day can be like new in Torah. That only a person who learns Torah is literally free. That he can experience the freedom of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah on a consistent basis. There's nowhere else in the world other than in the Beis Medrash. That person is Makushar Takadosh Baruch Hu, that he searches for Dveikus with Hashem, that he can feel constantly renewal in life. So it says about the Zakenim, Oid Yenuvim B'Seva, the Shenim Ranan Yu, that even as Tzadikim, Talmid Chacham, they get older, they get younger, they feel a freshness every single day. And this is really the inyan of what we're about to read this coming Shabbos. Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. But the whole inyan of Hischadshus, the inyan of renewal, which comes from the Parah Aduma of last week's Parsha, Parshas Parah. But it's Bechlal, what Nisan is, a renewal in the year, it's a renewal in time. It's a renewal for the Jew, it's a renewal for the Jewish people. But how can you have Pesach without a renewal? Pesach is a time for a Jew to have a hischadshus. And that hischadshus comes from a place that a person feels and he recognizes this is the glory of being Yid. But what it means, a world of tiring mitzvahs. What a schus it is. That if he drives down the street and he sees the way that people are mamish wasting their lives. Mamish wasting their lives. You can go to Main Street and you can see a movie theater on Main Street. It's like it's a big zikaron to that although Baruch Hashem Main Street is very clean, very relatively clean. But right in the middle of it there's a movie theater where you can go and you can see and you remind yourselves of how people waste their lives. I'm not saying that everybody who goes to a movie theater is a low life. Saying by people who make this their life, that they live in a world of dimion, they live in a world which is not a reality. What it means, the difference between Or and Choshech, to live a life in a Beis Medrash or to live a life in a movie theater, if we really dare that, we would walk down Main Street and see the movie theater, and we wouldn't be able to control ourselves. We'd say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shali Asani Goy. That I have the seichel and I have the neshama to know what type of a life HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving me, this life of a Jew. What it means to be a Jew. We don't realize that it's mamish bin or lechayishach bin yisolamim. We live in a different world. The oilam hatayr is a different world. We have this chus, not just to be yidden, but to know as bnei yeshiva what it means. And that even there, there's a long road to go. I can still recall with my eyes seeing the difference between Or and Chayshach, between myself and Rav Chaim Brim. So therefore, when a Jew sits by the Seder and he has many mitzvahs to do, it's very easy just to roll through the mitzvahs. Bal Kosos, yeah, I remember from last year, St. Bartloch, Matz again, Mar again, Karech again, Seel Manashtana one more time. If a person rolls through the Seder like that, then he missed the boat. The Seder is a celebration of what it means to be a Jew. Some Sefer reminds us that although in the Torah there are many situations where a person can eat something, he can eat a korban, b'makayim mitzvah d'oraisas, the only mitzvah which we have left, which is a mitzvah to eat, that is a kiyum of a mitzvah d'oraisas, eating matzah. To eat the michla d'mehamnusa, literally it gives our life back. It gives us emunah for the whole year. When a Jew eats matzah, if he's really eating matzah, he won't be able to not smile. But to me, it's not a kasha. That which the Mishnah Berurah says that lechatchila, based on the mechaber, lechatchila, a person should put two kazeisim of matzah in his mouth. So if you're smiling so wide, you could put two kazeisim in your mouth. If you understand that Hashem took enemy time, Harichif Pichav Amalehu. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it up. To say Halo on the night of the Seder. The Halo on the night of the Seder is you're thanking Hashem for your Yiddishkeit. Thanking Hashem for Yiddishkeit. But yeah, we eat so much at Shulchan Aruch, by the time Halo comes around, we're already falling asleep by the Halo. It's a sleepy hollow. But this is the hollow, which is a hollow to thank Hashem for being a Yid. The Seder is not over when you reach Shulchan Aruch. By the Tzaddikim, that's when the Seder begins. The Shulchan Aruch says that Tzaddikim used to kiss the matzah. They still kiss the matzah. They kiss all the mitzvahs at the Seder. Because matzah is not just matzah. Not just the bread with the unleavened bread with the Jewish people ate when they were leaving Egypt. This is a siman of a Jew's. This is life. It's a mamish life. This represents my Yiddishkeit. When I eat this, I think I'll go to Baruch Hu for what it means to be a Jew. How could we not smile? How could we not dance? It's a chiddush that a Jew doesn't just dance when he eats matzah. So you can have one person at the Seder that it's a dead Seder. People, they read it, they recite it, and in Mamish, it's dead. It's a dead table. And you can have another Seder where it's Mamish alive. But the Magish, the Inyan of, that a person is Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam in Mitzrayim. The Simcha in that. And the hard feelings and the and a feeling of bitterness, of maror towards each other at the Seder. If a person, you know, you're going too fast, you're going too slow, why are you doing like this? These are the types of feelings which they have no place. Chas v'shalom. It's a time where the nekudas of a Jew comes out. That even Eliyahu Navi wants to come to the Seder because the nekuda comes out. The neshama of a Jew comes out on the night of Pesach in all of its glory. Every Jew is right for Gilui Eliyahu. And we can go on. We can be marchem in this inyan more, but it's enough. It's, a person can do his own hisboniness. He can contemplate what the Seder is like by tzaddik. How it could be by us. How we can come to a Seder and we can mamish. We can make it alive. We can get into the penis of what these mitzvahs, which we're doing, what they really mean, and how to be meida takadosh baruch to be besimcha na yiddishkeit. Hashem should help us that as we begin to make hachanas now, the Purim is over and Pesach is beginning. And Seder night is really, in Chutzal to have this chus to have two of them. But we're literally spending this next little while preparing ourselves for the halachas of chametz and matzah, that's for sure. Making matzahs, but preparing ourselves for the Seder. That's what we're doing. Preparing ourselves for the Seder. It's a tremendous ma'amid. Even if we had a whole year to prepare for the Seder, wouldn't be enough. But as my Rebbe once told me, when I called him up last year, 2 years ago, he said the same thing each time. I called the Rebbe and I said to him, I said, can you give me some chizuk before the Seder? Some tevi chizuk before coming into the Seder. He said, chizuk? He says, just go to the Seder b'simcha. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu does everything tonight. How can you not be b'simcha when you know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything? It means to say that even if a person feels like he's coming to the Seder and he's not prepared and he wishes he had more time to prepare, the Kadosh Baruch Hu does everything tonight. It's the night of Yisarusa de La'ila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took us out of Mitzrayim without us being Zeicher, really. And he takes us out every single year, whether we're Zeicher or not. Every single Jew has a Yeshua. And that's the biggest hachana, that if a Jew knows that everything is in Hashem's hands, and he goes besimcha knowing that Hashem, we're riding Hashem on the night of the Seder, then he could be margish, and he'll be margish at the Seder, just how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything. And the matzah will be lichtig. And the Abukaisas will be lichtig, and the Magid will be lichtig. The whole Seder will be life. It'll be filled with life. It'll be filled with or. Because before he got there, he put everything in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. So we could look at it from this angle, we could look at it from that angle, but at the end of the day, it should be a time that a Jew appreciates his Yiddishkeit, that he's thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has a karas hatayr for what it means to be a Jew. And me, Ben, Avim, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem should help us that we should have that Seat of the Shemaya. Should have the Seat of the Shemaya. To be able to go be'emuna and with bitachon and besimcha, halavai we should be able to learn from the ma'isim which we spoke about, and the schos of the tzaddik, And even if we didn't have time to spend by the tzaddik, I only spent maybe a year or two in his company. There's certain things which are everlasting. I'm thankful to that for that. And Hashem Baruch Hu should help us as we approach the Seder. B'simcha, ba'avo, b'shalom, b'shebzeche. Not just for a geula b'pratiyas teaching every one of us, but Yeshua and a geula shlema for God's Klal Yisrael, b'yisgael tzedek, m'yemeinu. Amen.